T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The podcast that everybody's talking about these days is the Tomahawk podcast with Andrew Hawkins and Joe Thomas. They are the, I'll tell you, I've never heard a podcast with two guys that looked more alike. I can't even tell these two guys apart.
We get that a lot.
I mean, especially Andrew. Joe has lost all this weight. Like, he might be skinnier than you now.
Honestly, I'm more built like a left tackle than he is. He has like a six-pack. My six-pack is long gone.
Well, Andrew, good to have you on, man. We haven't talked to you in a while. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. The podcast is great. I listened to the entire podcast with Johnny Manziel today. It was fascinating. I'll be honest. It was great. You did a great job, and you're a really good interviewer, considering you just finished playing. I don't like Johnny. I don't like him, but I don't know him personally like you do. But all the things that he's done and all that stuff, I'm a person who has battled with addiction. I haven't gambled in 9 years. I understand that, and I have sympathy for that. I guess the domestic violence charges against him have soured me, and it's hard for me to get over that. But I will say that it was fascinating to hear him on with you. I always take what he says with a grain of salt because I felt like he's such a good talker, but he is a charmer. I'll tell you that. I mean, you listen to it, and he comes off very sincere, and he gave you some great information. I mean, things we didn't know. I don't know if you knew all the stuff, but there was something like the stuff with Hugh Jackman. We'll get into it all, but what was your general sense, and what would you say to people like me that don't know Johnny personally that say what I just said?
Yeah, I mean, first off, it's an interview, right? So, it's not me campaigning for any of the things he's done.
Sure.
He's very open and honest about the things that he can be open and honest about. Even knowing Johnny in his past, he is a lot more transparent now than he's ever been.
Okay.
Which is a big deal because, had you had this conversation with him 3 years ago, nothing was his fault. He didn't ever do anything wrong.
Okay.
But as a person also who's affected by addiction, I lost my sister. My father has battled with addiction my entire life. Yeah. I understand that sometimes it's bigger than you have control over, right? And while it might be a surprise to a lot of people, nothing was a surprise to the guys in the locker room. We've gotten some comments about they wanted more of a hard-hitting interview. Well, look, this is my friend, right? So it's not even beyond the fact that we're friends. It's like I told him from day one. I said, look, I'm going to be here for you beyond this football stuff because I understood it. And I seen it firsthand. Mm. And I know sometimes when things spiral out of control and no one's left, I want to make sure someone has the ability to call somebody and be like, hey, man, I need you. And that's way more important to me than the football side. So, no, it's not going to be the same interview that maybe you would give.
Yeah.
But this is the interview that we would have in the locker room. This is the conversation we would have in the locker room. And that's what the Tomahawk Show is.
And that was and listen, I'm not criticizing the interview at all. Let me make that clear. I thought it was fascinating and fantastic. And it was a great – I didn't think it was needed to be any more hard-hitting. I thought it was perfect the way it is.
Let's go back to 2014. One of the things you guys talked about in this interview a lot was, how Kyle Shanahan was like such an influence on everything. How big was that for you guys?
I mean, it was huge, to be honest. I mean, that was the biggest loss of the – that's probably the biggest loss of the franchise in the last 10 years, in my opinion. Because, it's hard for an offensive coordinator to have that kind of respect for a team so quickly and from his guys and understand it at a different level. Like, guys – they want to be coached, and more than the fact they want to be coached, they want to get paid. They want to play well. That's why we do it. The better we play, the more we get paid. This is a job. This isn't fun to us. This isn't just, hey, we're just going to play a game, and sometimes people think that. This is 20 years in the making, and we're at the pinnacle now. We want to play our best, and Cal has a very unique ability to make that mirror with his offensive goal. So as a receiver, I've had my best year in that offense for that reason, because we did things specifically that would showcase my talents, but also help the overall agenda. And Kyle was a guy who could coach offensive linemen as if he played offensive linemen. He was a guy that can coach receivers because he did play receiver. He was a guy that would coach Correll on his steps down to so meticulously that it felt like he played running back, and the same goes for quarterback. And that's what's special about an offensive coordinator.
We're talking with former Browns wide receiver Andrew Hawkins, now the co-host with Joe Thomas of the Tomahawk podcast. They had Johnny Manziel on the podcast that just dropped today. It's a 52 minutes?
Yep, 54, Andrew, 50, I believe.
54 minutes. It's really a fascinating listen. And I think, you know, some of the stuff that was really interesting was when you flat out asked him, and so for people that said you didn't ask tough enough questions, I thought this was had to be a little uncomfortable to ask when you said to him, hey, flat out, I thought we shouldn't have started you when we benched Brian Hoyer, and he agreed with you. Do you think at the time he would have agreed with you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Not. I mean, I think hindsight is always 20/20, right?
Yeah.
You always think you're prepared for a job. How often does it happen in life, right? You want this job, and either you get it and you're not prepared, or you don't get it, and then you realize, like, man, I'm glad I didn't get that job when I got it because I wouldn't have been able to put my best foot forward. And I think that's the situation with Johnny. I think over time he then realized, okay, maybe and he said in the podcast, I wasn't prepared as I should have been.
Right.
I didn't know how to study him. I thought I did because in college it was so easy to him that he thought that was the formula. And when you come to the NFL, even coming from Texas A&M, in the SEC, it's a whole different level of football that you got to be prepared for.
Andrew Hawkins with us on the hotline. Andrew, when Josh Gordon came back that year for the final five games or whatever it was it a distraction?
I don't think it was a distraction. I think it messed up a little bit of the...
Did it make Hoyer start to try to force the ball to him and stuff like that? That's one of the things I wonder about, the chemistry.
Yeah, what was tough was the fact that he was gone for 10 weeks, right? So he was gone for 10 weeks, so we had a very particular way of doing things, and then Josh was thrown into that. Again, I don't think it's Josh's fault. To be honest, that's one of the gaffes of that season is that we didn't roll him in slower. And again, I think Josh would tell you the same thing, even, you know, who's a guy that I think is a top three receiver talent in the league now, and I expect big things out of him for the rest of his career. Even being around him and talking to him now and with the contrast of how he used to talk back then. But even he, I think, would say, like, yo, he should have rolled in slower that year to kind of fit in where he was. And then as time went on, he would have peaked at the right time as opposed to coming back his first game and getting 17, 18 targets in an offense that we were telling him almost the route sometimes because he had been gone so long and right back into it. I would have to say, hey, you got the end. Or I didn't have time to say, yo, in cover two, you got to shave this off and not take it high. And I think for that, it threw off Hoyer's chemistry and then the offense a little bit. And it was just a different team if you look at a team past that point from the beginning of the season.
Andrew, do you think that Ray Farmer or maybe really Jimmy Haslam forced Mike Pettine to play Johnny Manziel?
You know, I don't know if it was forced. And I don't know if it was from Jimmy. I don't know if it was from Ray. I don't know if it was from Mike Pettine. But the situation, it kind of is what it is, right? It's like, do I think Johnny should have played? No, I don't think he should have played. Johnny said that, and I'm sure all three of those people would say that now. But, again, hindsight is 20/20. I don't know whose decision it was, but I just don't – obviously it wasn't the right decision.
You know, I don't want to spoil everything because we want people to listen to the podcast, though I'm sure most people have already. But so I don't want to give all the details away. But the Billy Vegas stuff,
that was
fat. Did you – like that, it was fascinating, but it was also like really sad. I mean, in a way, because he was so out of control at that point. The fact that he just thought he could go to Vegas for a few hours before the game was that story. Like, did you know all the details on that beforehand or no?
No, I did not know all the details. Obviously, I mean, I remember at that time we were reading Twitter the way everybody else was.
Yeah.
And we're like, yo, does this really happen? Does this really happen? And then as things started to go, everyone had their opinion. He never really talked about it or admitted it. It's never been confirmed. And again, on the Tomahawk show, we like to have the conversation we would have in a locker room. So had he come back in there, we would have said, yo, did you really do this? Tell us the story. You know, and he had already, you know, Johnny did PNT. He had done Good Morning America. So we wanted to make sure on our show that we had an exclusive as his teammates, as guys in the locker room,
right,
of something he could put to bed. And that was like kind of one of those folklore stories. But yeah, I mean, it was insightful for us hearing it as well, understanding where he was in life. But I think that is a testament to Johnny of where he is now. I know I understand that people may be skeptical of what's going on. And I'm not saying he's going to go through the rest of life perfect, but that's the thing about addiction. Like, you have to get to a point where you admit that you had a problem and find the source of that problem, which I think Johnny has identified. And anything beyond that, you kind of just hope and pray and take it a day at a time. So the fact that he acknowledges it and wants to put it to bed and is so transparent about it is a step in the right direction. But again, like I said, as a guy who lost his sister to addiction after 2.5 years of being sober on her first relapse, honestly, it kind of has a mind of its own. And the more support he has around him and the more he understands it's something he has to work at, the better.
It just seems, I'll be honest, part of the reason I'm skeptical about him is because, like, if you want to, like, live a clean lifestyle and get back to playing football and stay out of trouble, L.A. doesn't seem like, it's not like he's from L.A. Like, it just seems like maybe you'd move to a small town in Texas or something. I don't know. It seems like an odd place to try to straighten out your life, maybe. What do you think?
I think it all depends on who it is, right? So for you or me, a guy in L.A., probably not, because, I can walk around Cleveland, or I could walk around New York. I could walk around anywhere and just be me. No one's going to recognize me. I'm 4'7". No one's going to say, oh, whatever. But for Johnny, to be in a small town in Texas, I don't think people realize how much of a superstar Johnny is.
Fair.
And I'm out here in L.A., but this is a place where you can kind of go under the radar.
True.
Now, I just walked by Uncle Jesse from Full House 10 minutes ago. I'm out in L.A. now, and it's no big deal. So for Johnny to be here, maybe that is the better low-key place for him because no one cares as much as they do in other places. He can't go around in Cleveland and just go under the radar. He can't go around in Texas and go under the radar. But I think here there is some normalcy for him in the fact that, they see stars every day, so it's not a big deal.
Good point.
Andrew.
Good point.
All right, so you were teammates with Johnny for 2 years, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you have to have at some point kicked it with him, right, a little bit, like been out in the town.
Never.
Never?
One time. Nope. Okay. I'm not a kicker guy.
That's
man.
Not his like, style, right?
Well, okay,
that's
I'm just easy. Like one yeah. time, like no team event or something. I just want to know how crazy this dude parties. I mean, you've heard the stories. I was trying to get some.
I mean, honestly, we'd have a better chance of hanging out now than we did back then, especially while I was playing. That's just who I was.
Yeah, sure.
I never went out in Cleveland when I played Cincinnati. I never went out there when I played in Montreal. I never went out there for a lot of the reasons that we talk about. The guys that would see Johnny. And then you would make the assumption, oh, this guy doesn't care about it. Right. I was always very conscious of that, regardless of if I wanted to or not, right? And, sometimes young guys do it. I had the benefit of not getting in the league till I was 25. So I understood that already, where a guy like Sean, if you remember the conversation around Kaiser, I can't believe he's out. He's thinking it's harmless and he's an adult, and he is. But that conversation around it wasn't worth it enough for me. Right, Joe Thomas would always get on me, even though he's one of my great friends now, and I'm a co-host on the fastest growing podcast in the history of Joe. I would never go to his Halloween party, and it would pee him off because I just wouldn't do it. It's just not who I was.
Well, I'm going to steal a question from the Tomahawk podcast, Andrew. When your phone fell in the pond a couple of hours ago, who was the most famous number you've lost because of that?
Luckily, and this is no joke, I backed it up probably 15 minutes before I dropped it in like
good
this
timing.
Little fake pond outside of our office building that I'm at.
Yeah.
So I didn't lose any numbers.
Good. Who's the most famous?
The person I have in my phone is probably – oh, that's a tough one, man. Probably Johnny, to be honest.
Johnny
Between Johnny and Maverick Carter, I think those are the two most famous
there you
people
go.
I have.
No act, no big actors?
Nah, I don't have any. I have a couple actors. Gary Owen is in my phone.
All right.
Good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Johnny is probably the most polarizing figure in my phone.
It's funny that you say that you could, because I was out in L.A. 2 weeks ago on vacation. I was there for like 4.5 days on vacation, and I saw 5 celebrities in 4.5 days. It's
amazing.
It's wild.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I was in this deli in Beverly Hills called Nate and Al's. You ever heard of it?
Uh-huh.
Great place. And Jeff Garlin's there from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Heather Graham walks in 10 minutes later. Blows my mind.
It's wild, man, and it's like no big deal.
Yeah.
I was here in the offseason in Beverly Hills. My wife would take the kids to play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you should get it. They play with the same set of kids every day.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani's kids. So, I sit with Gwen. I'm like, what? And, Blake Shelton comes around. I'm like, what are you? So the kids, they have no idea. They're playing with Gwen Stefani's kids. Like, it's no big deal. But that's LA
funny.
For you.
Oh, my God.
So, hey, Hawk, so what are you doing? Are you working for ESPN now, like doing the Snapchat SportsCenter stuff? I saw we see you on NFL Live. Like, what do you got cooking now?
Yeah, so I work for ESPN. I'm one of their talent there. I'm one of their hosts of SportsCenter on Snapchat, which is the digital show on there. It's like a shorter version of SportsCenter for the demographic that is Snapchat, like a 15 to 30-year-old demographic. And it's really cool. I work in NFL Live. As a matter of fact, I'll be there on Monday on the desk. So it's cool. I'm doing the media stuff. And beyond that, I'm working with Maverick Carter as his director of business development for a couple of him and LeBron's companies. So it's an exciting time, man. Just, you know, trying to work as hard on this side as I did as a player.
I'll tell you, Andrew, I'm not just saying this because you're here and because we like you, but, like, as someone who's been doing radio, sports talk radio for almost 20 years now, like, a lot of times when I hear shows or podcasts where it's just two athletes and there's no radio guy, I'm always like, yeah, come on, this is not going to work. And usually it's a little choppy. But you guys both do a really good job. I mean, you run the show well. And, you know, it doesn't sound like a couple. You guys don't sound like amateurs, considering neither one of you has done it for very long.
Right. Well, I appreciate it, man. Yeah. That means a lot. I think the biggest thing is the fact that, A, Joe is incredible. Yeah. We have great chemistry. And even No Face Dan, who is our third.
Right.
I think we just have a good rapport like we always have, and it's a good formula, and it works. Hopefully we can continue it going for a long time.
You think Joe's going to retire or is he going to play?
If I was being honest, and he's not just like me speculating, I don't think he is. I don't think he is.
You don't think he's what? He's going to play or retire?
You think he's going to retire?
I don't think he's going to retire.
Oh,
I think he's going to play.
Okay. Yeah, there's some rumblings out today. Yeah. There were some rumblings out today that he's going to play one more season. I guess it's just it's so weird to see him hurt. I was he's always, right?
He's a man of steel.
Yeah.
I think what the worst thing that could happen for Joe in his mind, and I don't know this, he's talking over with his family, and again, he's going to, kick me in the groin because I'm even talking about it, and people might think that I have any insight, which I don't. But I think he feels really good. A, he loves Hugh Jackson. And B, he feels really good about John Dorsey being able to bring the football talent in here right away to help, help them get more competitive.
Right.
And I don't think he wants to miss that boat because the Browns are in a really good spot for competition, free agency, the draft, you name it. And he's put in his time here, and he's a legend, to be honest.
Yeah, he is.
It would be a travesty for him to walk away, at a time when he feels so confident about the direction of the franchise.
And I think it was, speaking of, obviously the Browns again taking a quarterback, and you know about that. But, I'm not sure if it was last week's podcast, I can't remember now, or maybe 2 weeks ago, where because he's been campaigning, obviously, for Kirk Cousins. Was it last week where he said he think that ship has sailed? Was that last week?
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah.
He said he doesn't think the Kirk Cousins thing is going to happen.
What about the are you following the college stuff? I mean, are you in, like, which of the rookies do you like the most, Hawk?
I haven't looked as much as I should, but actually one of the quarterbacks on the infamous Browns jersey, Bruce Gradkowski, is one of my roommates, and he's been doing everything. He likes Josh Allen a lot.
Wow.
He thinks that, he played with Jamarcus Russell, and he's saying, he has, all the makings of Jamarcus Russell, who was physically built and had the arm of a quarterback that people would drool over. He loves him. He said there's some inaccuracy there that he thinks will be an issue.
Yeah,
because sometimes you throw it so hard that it's not as accurate as it should be, regardless of the level of receivers he has. But he's also in on Sam Darnold. He's really big on him. He likes him and thinks he'll be slower to develop in the league than a guy like Josh Allen because of that physical ability Allen has.
Yeah,
and he thinks long term Sam Darnold is he's on the right track to be big time in the league.
All right, Dustin likes Mayfield. I like
Love
Rosen,
Mayfield.
And I'm fascinated by Lamar Jackson. I want to see if Lamar Jackson gets with the right coach because, Michael Vick just said he thinks he's going to be better than him. He was much better in college than Michael Vick. He's one of the all-time great athletes. If he's paired with the right coach, he's going to be fascinating to watch.
I think so, too. I think he just has an it factor to him. Can you imagine the Jaguars get him late in the first?
Oof.
Wow. Hell, he might be the starter there next year. You never know. But it's like they could really get a steal that way and get a quarterback of the future. I'm really big on Lamar Jackson as well.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. Hawk, great stuff,
awesome, man.
You guys do a great job with the podcast. It was awesome to have you on. Good luck, man. Thanks.
I appreciate you having me, guys.
Hi, man.
All right, there you go. Andrew Hawkins, we love him. He's been on the show many times, and the Tomahawk Podcast, a great listen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.